Hello and welcome to a new episode. Here alongside me is Kevin Wilson, and today we have a very special guest, Chris Safi, who is a cancer survivor and is also a founder and president of Little Golden Light. Kevin, please introduce yourself first.
Hi guys, my name is Kevin Wilson. I'm a senior here at St. Francis College, and my major is business management.
And introducing our special guest, Chris Safi, tell us a little bit about yourself and who you are.
Hi, Brandon. Thank you for having me on today. My name is Christopher Safi. I am a two-time cancer survivor of neuroblastoma, and I started a nonprofit organization a few years back and helping families and children go into pediatric cancer. As I was where the children were, there's a lot of things that needs to be done, with like awareness, and it's very expensive to go through cancer. So we're also trying to see to find a way to help these families pay off certain medical bills, also provide activities for children when they're going through the chemo and radiation and all the other testing.
Mm-hmm. All right, perfect. So Chris, today the reason we brought you in this episode is because, as you've mentioned, you are a cancer survivor. Tell me what the process of that was like, because I can imagine it was a tough path throughout your life. I've known you through high school, and I've seen that you spoke to teachers saying, you know, Mr. or Miss so-and-so, I'm going through it right now. I'm not going through a very good path at the moment. I'm going through this. Tell me, what was it like?
So I technically, when I had cancer, I was diagnosed at a very young age. I believe I was diagnosed at 18 months. Mm-hmm. And then I went into remission, and then I got diagnosed again at 4 years old, 6 years old. Basically from 18 months to around 6, 7 years old, there was a lot of treatments going on. And then as I was going through elementary school, middle school, that's where the side effects of cancer kicked in.
Mm-hmm.
So,
can you tell us a little bit about what those side effects are for those people listening?
For example, when you're going through cancer, it's one thing surviving it, and it's one thing living life after it. When you're doing a lot of chemotherapy and radiation, that tends to basically change up your whole body. I mean, you become like a different person internally and emotionally and physically. For example, the small side effects could be like from the radiation. They could radiation and chemo could affect certain tumors to come back. Mm-hmm. It could be cancerous, could not be cancerous. So after going on like high dose radiation and high dose chemotherapy, especially with the rare cancer that I had, I had a lot of reoccurring tumors. Like I believe from 2015 to 2022, I had 2023, we had 5 brain surgeries.
Oh wow! Oh,
and like a liver surgery. So like, radiation tends to mess up genes and DNA.
A lot of it.
And then the tumors start coming up all over, you know, your body, depending on where you had the high-dose radiation. Also, the chemo is part of it as well. So, when I was in high school, like 7th grade, middle school, high school, and then also in college at St. Francis College, you know, I was dealing with all these side effects. So, you know, it was very hard to maintain my daily life.
Right.
And
then
going to school and working. Mm-hmm. So, and with Little Golden Light, I started it back in high school, junior year.
Okay.
And I would start it as a toy drive. And I wasn't, like, I would, at the time when I started it, I wouldn't say I was mature enough to understand the financial part of cancer.
Right.
So I started this toy drive, and the number one thing that kept me happy during all the tough times when I was in the hospital is like somebody that you don't know just comes and thinks of you, knocks the door and gives you toys, gives you candy, spend time with you, listens to you, distracts you from your emotional and physical pain. So when I, you know, going through all this, I was like, listen, I need to, when I get out, I need to help. I can't stand the fact that I'm where I am today.
Right.
And not look back at where I was, where I know exactly what these patients are going through. As we're speaking right now, I know exactly what they're going through. They're always on my mind. They're always of me thinking of how Little Golden Light can help.
Right. So speaking of Little Golden Light, you've mentioned you created this in order to help people because you've been through that path of, you know, suffering. You know what the pain is. What other things motivated you to creating this organization?
The most important part was when I was in college, from freshman year college to junior year college, I went into a lot of problems with my health, like surgeries, nonstop, three consecutive years. And I still continued to go to class. I still continued to pursue my degree, even though, you know, I was managing my health and being in and out of the hospital, different procedures. But I realized that it wasn't only toys. It was more than toys. And it wasn't only it wasn't even only about finance. Like, it wasn't even about, like, helping these families with expenses. Yes, it's very important, but what became very, very important is awareness.
Right.
Yes, we are here to help what you need, like materialistically.
Right.
But also, like, I realized that when I was going through this, I just thought I was the only one, and I didn't have anyone to go to be like, yo, are you feeling what I'm feeling, or is it just me, or is this normal?
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't have anyone else to talk to you about this. So,
right.
And I thought it, you know, when I started Little Golden Light, I thought opening up about myself, what I'm going through, because I just wanted to find, first, I wanted to find answers for myself, because I was lost. I mean, I was going through all this, and no one else was going through it around me.
Of course, yeah. So let me ask a question. So you mentioned, you know, how you felt like you was going through this journey alone. You didn't really have anybody to open up to about. So when you started your organization, who was the person or a group of people that you were able to go to for answers, or like, how can I say it? Yeah, like, was you able to find any answers when you started?
Well, when I realized that, instead of holding my feelings to myself, I tend to just, like, now we're speaking about it and opening up about it. And I realized when I did that, there were other patients and other parents of these patients,
right,
that came up to me like, oh, wow, this is...
And
we're thinking the same, and we're both silent about it.
Right.
I spoke to, you know, parents that lost their child at a very young age.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't like we were talking and they're like, oh, no, you don't understand what I'm going through. And then we got deeper in the conversation and they, you know, we both started getting, like, we both understood, wow, we understood each other. It's just that we didn't find the right people at the moment. But now that we're both opening up to each other, we realize, wow, like, you know, we understood each other. And I spoke to parents, unfortunately, I spoke to parents that lost the child to cancer, that the child was a teenager, where, like, the teenager going to cancer, like myself, the friend group that you're in, they're cool, they're good, but they just don't understand why you just kind of disappeared from the group.
Right.
When you, yes, I was in the hospital for a week, I come home, but I'm still recovering from the procedures and medication that,
right,
I'm taking. And, you know, I was talking to a few families, and they're like, you know, they get mad that they come to the funeral and not come when the person that needs it at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's one of the things that I spoke with many families from different age groups, moms and dads, and guardian and patient themselves. And what kept me going is that we are all talking about these problems. We wouldn't be talking about these problems if there wasn't a problem.
Exactly.
So where Little Golden Light comes in, it comes in with financial support, comes in with activities, going to chemo, going to this series of treatment and surgeries, and we provide activities and resources that needed in the hospital, and also as well as just starting our own podcast and also talking about life with cancer, because cancer,
but you have different perspectives of people who...
When you survive cancer, it's a different life.
Yeah.
You're a completely different person.
Of course.
And you need to adjust your lifestyle to it, because then it comes to your life where you need to manage your daily life with your medical appointment and school. So, like, an average student would be school, work, and go home. Me would be school, work, and I have to also find time with my
appointment. Check up.
Order checkup, and you have a lot of complications as well, too. So when you're recovering, it's not that, not like you go in for a week, you're out.
Right. It's because your body is much different after, you know, the all of that, you know, how can I say? I don't want to say trauma, but, you know.
Yeah, you could say trauma.
Yeah, I'll say trauma.
You take trauma. I mean, once you go in, it's never the same.
Right. So like I said, you know, your body's recovering. Your body's not going to be the same afterwards. You have to really transform and adjust, like you said, your daily life, you know, just because of that, you know, issue. So it's understandable. Also, just wanted to piggyback off what you said, how you said that people, you know, you opened up to people and they opened up to you as well about the same situation that they went through or that they faced. You know, I think that's the beauty of it, because you never know what people are going through.
No, you never.
People really are literally going through the same thing that you are, but they're just scared to open up. So once you open up to them, then they feel comfortable to open up to you. And that's what builds connections and bridges.
And that's the beauty of it. Even when I was working for people, and you can open up with just one sentence.
Right, you can.
And then that one sentence that you're saying to the individual, which would be like, maybe he might understand.
Exactly.
And then from there, you could make a friendship, or you can find somebody that could understand you.
Right.
And then once you feel that you're being understood, from my experience, my anxiety and my temporary depression, I mean, I'm going through three surgeries back to back, tends to release. And then what makes me really, really happy and really, like, I really love to know that I'm making a difference, to know that I'm not doing it in quantity, I'm doing it in quality.
Right. I like that.
So, it, you know. So,
you're bringing a change to the community.
Yes.
Basically.
Yeah.
You're making the world a better place, you know, like with your stuff that you went through. You're, you know, giving back to the community with toys, like you mentioned before. But what other things do you guys do, like financial support?
So the past, I would say the past 5.5 years, or maybe 4 years, we were just doing the toy drive. And as of last year, we officially became a nonprofit organization. So we have our 501c3 exempt. And then once we launched that, we did our first fundraiser, and we announced what our plans are and what we are doing. So I could summarize it. So Little Golden Light would continue the toy drive. We would interview parents and family that want to share on their podcast, so to reach a community of cancer patients that can listen to this and relate. And we also working on creating a product to change atmosphere when a child is going through pediatric cancer. We in the future would really like to also get involved in helping with transportation.
Because transportation is a very big thing. It's very expensive.
Right. That's one of our biggest goals, but, you know, we just you know, we're going step by step.
Right, little by little.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Now, as we move forward, you know, making this organization, I believe, was kind of hard, I guess, in a sense, because did you have people who supported you when you started founding this organization? Did people close doors on you saying, no, we're not going to help you at all? How was that like? Tell us a little bit about how the process of making this organization Little Golden Light was like.
So it started with friends and family.
Mm-hmm.
It started with my local church, you know, my church community.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I would, you know, yes, you get a lot of denial, of course. And it's not like a mean denial. It's just like a denial in that that person that you're approaching had another cause. And I, over the years of doing it, I learned that to come in early.
Mm.
So it was hard to build your name because, like, Little Golden Light, at the time, it wasn't Little Golden Light. It was just a toy drive.
Right.
And it was just me going around the community, going business to business, going schools to school.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I started Little Golden Light, I went to my local churches. I went to my the high school I went to for Hamilton. I went to Dyker Heights, that middle school I went to, and I spoke with the principal. And I went to my elementary school. So I started with the people I know. And, you right. know, most of them know my story. And I told them, like, I'm starting the toy drive. I would love if my school could get involved. And they said yes. And from there, like, a lot of the way that it spread was word of mouth. You know, first year we ever did it, we did 400 and I believe it was 455 toys. Our goal was 500. And year after year, we started getting more locations, and then we went from, we were over 50, I believe we're over 50 locations, over 20 to 30 business sponsors. And as of last year, we collected 6,000 toys.
Oh, wow. And wow.
Yeah.
That's a huge.
We have so much toys that we still have so much now that we're able to give to the hospitals all year long before it was just seasonal.
Wow. So
So
it's like a yearly thing that you have a supply for like the rest of the year.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So we went from seasonal, just giving around the holiday, to now, just as of this year, we were able to give.
So around. So what's the plan for the next coming months? I mean, it's getting nice outside. So, I mean, summertime would be a really, really good time, you know, just to make your runs around, you know.
Yeah. So, I'm graduating college now, so I can really, like, I want to obviously work with my career, but I would like to take this summer and just focus on things and more projects that we can get done over the summer.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're going to work on our annual fundraiser that usually takes in September. Also, you know, we got to prepare for our toy drive for now. Now we're in Queens, Staten Island, Brooklyn, and we're trying to get into Manhattan.
I was just going to ask, like, what are the locations around the city? Are you still in Brooklyn or you moved to different boroughs? But you answered that question.
The last toy drive, we were able to get our reputation into Queens.
Okay.
And Staten Island, Brooklyn. We are looking to try to get into certain, small towns in New Jersey.
Okay, that's good.
But, yeah, we're just getting our words around. We used to only donate to Sloan Kettering, but we weren't getting a lot of donations. I mean, we were getting from around 3,000 to 2,500 of toys each year. Up to this year, we got 6,000. And then this year, we were able to give to two Maimonides hospitals, Mount Sinai, Sloan Kettering, and NYU. So we were able to give almost five, six hospitals. That's nice. And we just got word back from Maimonides that they would like to get more donations. And we're able to give them year-long. So we're growing at a
Good, you're right.
Yeah.
I would say is
you guys are going, yeah,
Revy,
very good.
You're making really good progress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when was this founded once again?
So the total I've been doing it for 6 years, I would say December of 2018.
Okay. I mean, that's very good progress.
It is. But, I mean, for you to say that you're almost around the city now, you know, you're in three boroughs already. You haven't touched, you know, Manhattan or the Bronx. I don't know if you're aiming for the Bronx as well, but
yeah.
No, like 6 years is a really good time.
I mean, I would count Manhattan because all the hospitals were donating to.
Okay.
So yeah, you could say
so
from three, four boroughs.
Okay, so you mentioned hospitals. Is hospitals like the only place? Like, I want to say place, but I mean, I know like that's where a lot of, you know, cancer patients are. Are you also aiming for, like, certain communities around the city?
So, now we are donating these toys for the patients that are going through chemo and radiation and,
okay,
and staying a long time in hospital.
Gotcha.
Yeah, yes, we're giving to hospitals now. I don't know if you guys are familiar with McDonald's House.
No, I don't.
Basically provide housing for patients that come, like, far away from the hospital.
Okay.
And they, most of them are either, you know, cancer patients or children with disabilities. Certain, I mean, not, you could say disability, but.
Yeah, I guess, right.
No, I got it.
Not only cancer, but we are trying to get our contact out there. But so far the hospitals have been easy to work with.
Yeah.
And they all have more pediatric cancer centers. And then to have inpatient and have outpatient. So I'm able to communicate with the people there of what is needed and when is it needed. And then I will try to look at our budget and see what can we do around this certain time. And then we always aim, again, we always aim for quality over quantity. Because we want to provide the best.
Yeah.
It could be a small donation, but the high quality toys.
Right.
But I think right now we are equaling quantity and quality together as we are growing.
Yeah. I definitely think the way you're describing it is just baby steps.
Baby steps for now.
And that's perfect. You know, you want to go at a slow pace. You mentioned small donations. And sometimes those small donations are big donations to people. It takes a lot of, you know, appreciation out of it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because certain people, you know, what you're doing a great thing. You're doing a great deed. Something that a lot of people just wouldn't do. Mm-hmm. So for them, you know, even though you're just, you know, to you is like, yeah, you know, you're doing a good deed, but you know, it's a small deed but a good deed. But to them, it's like a really like big thing,
yeah,
in a good way. So,
yeah, and we're also, you know, working out, talking with hospitals back and forth. We are looking to right now. We're currently looking to pick one or two families, and just focus on what their needs and how we can help them.
Okay.
It could be as simple, you know, the help could be as simple, you know, from coming from them. It could be as simple as providing transportation for them.
That's all it takes.
Paying off a certain bill, because I'm telling you, these insurance companies would drain your pocket.
I can imagine
that. Yeah.
Those bills are pretty high.
I believe it.
It would drain your pockets, you know, as me going through it. And my family, like my parents, they went through it with me. So we know, like, we could give advices to the families, like, protect yourself legally.
Yeah.
It could be as simple as buying certain insurance to protect your assets. Because, listen, the bills of these hospitals that these insurance companies are charging, they cover to a limit.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you go over that limit,
It
comes out of your pocket. But right. If you can't pay that limit out of your pocket, they're going to start looking at your assets.
Mm.
So if the family owned a small house, owned a small store, small restaurant, someone got to pay that bill, and they're going to go after
what you own.
What you own, basically.
Yeah.
And then they might have to forcefully sell your house just to pay off that bill. So. You know, also at Little Golden Light, we are trying to provide education resources, not medical advice. It's just basic advice that when you're going through cancer, because when you're going through cancer, it's not, not something everyone is experience in it. It's like the person that's currently getting diagnosed, I believe, would be the first time or the second time. So, you know, as a little girl in life, all the experience I went through, all the things that I witnessed that I wish I was told in advance, I'm using that to tell the public and tell the pediatric cancer community.
Yeah, so you're basically informing the world of what is to come for those people that are just starting off with cancer.
Yeah, right. It's honest truth. I mean, you don't want to hear it, but you might want to have to hear it because it would help you.
It's going to prepare them mentally and physically for what is to come for them.
Yeah.
Right, okay. So now talking about, you know, Little Golden Light, was this an organization that sort of, you know, pushed you, motivated you, or a certain someone that also, like, motivated you to start this organization? How did, you know, how was that like? Because this doesn't just come out of thin air. Maybe someone motivated you to start this.
What motivated me was...
making a difference?
It was, yes, making a difference, but when I was going through it,
right,
there was a lot of things that just didn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? There was a lot of things that just didn't make sense.
If you're comfortable with sharing some of those things that didn't make sense to the public, if you can, if you feel comfortable. If not, it's totally okay.
So there's a lot of personal things I don't really want to share, but I'll give you a hint.
Totally fine.
No, I'll give you a hint. But, like, for an example, there was, like, many stories between me and my doctor, and imagine just being in the hospital right after another, right? Home, hospital.
Yeah, like back and forth.
Yeah, back and forth, and all you're hearing is, all you hear is bad news.
Negative comments,
yes, yeah. Bad news. I literally thought my life was falling apart. I thought I was going to die, for real. Like, I was calling up families and telling them, you know, I don't know, I feel like the end is coming. And I was forcefully diagnosed with cancer at one point, and it wasn't. And this doctor says that, and this doctor says this. It was the anger that I had. But I would say it was a good anger, because I just couldn't wait to get out of the hospital, do what needed to be done.
So basically change the world is what you wanted to do after, you know, you went through this whole process.
And, you know, not everyone is privileged to have great coverage when they're going through cancer. For example, you could be talking to a doc for 20 minutes and get a bill $500 to $600. Not everyone is privileged to get this coverage, insurance coverage. So one of it was financial. One of it was emotional. The emotions I had going through it, I was like, this can't be it. Like,
right.
Like, to this day, like, right now, I'm always thinking of ways to help. It's not easy to do. You got to always keep approaching. Always got to keep talking about it. You have to always think outside the box.
Right.
It could be as simple as changing the atmosphere inside the room that you're going, when you're going through cancer, or you're going through the side effect of cancer. And one of the biggest things that I witnessed throughout my whole life was the side effect of cancer. Now, I'm not no medical professional, but I can say I believe that there was a lot of things that I did or taken could have, there was other alternative. Like, for example, when I was going to surgery for 3 years, I think it's normal for you to have anxiety and depression. I think that's pretty normal.
I think it is.
Yeah.
Right.
So I didn't believe that I needed to have drugs to take drugs to control my anxiety and depression.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things that I felt there was a lot of drug pushing. And there was, I mean, for pain, I've taken a lot of pain medications, and it's not the typical amount you would take.
Not the typical amount another person would take compared to, like, because I'm pretty sure it was a lot.
And then when you
had to consume.
Yeah, and then when you take it and you get off of it, that's another story. Like, it's not easy. Mm. I mean, they make you take it for a few months, and then it's time to get off of it. It's one of the most hardest things ever.
It's a huge change in your body as well, right?
Oh yeah, and after surgeries and after certain procedures, your body did not react to how it's supposed to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank God I didn't get any infections, but it's just your body shuts down. You become extremely tired, extremely lazy. What kept me going was I stayed in college. It kept me going. It kept me getting up in the morning and knowing that I got to get this done at the end of the day.
Right.
And then what kept me going was, when I'm done with this situation I'm currently in, I'm going out there and I'm going to speak about it. I'm going to make a difference about it. I'm going to go and, like, one of the things that I've been talking to other patients and parents of these patients is that, yes, it's finance aspect of it, and there's certain activities to distract the child at the moment. But sometimes it just comes to the part where they just want to be understood. They just want to be heard.
Right.
And it's a very small community, like the pediatric cancer community, that not even get federal funding. Does not get a lot. I believe it's 3-4%.
Wow.
That's not a lot.
That's, yeah.
Yeah. So most of the cancer research situation is all being done by donors. It's all being done by communities coming together and raising awareness, raising enough money for this family to pay off this bill, or to, you know, other nonprofits also focused on just raising awareness and money for cancer research. And that's a whole other topic of going into the anger of cancer, is that me being a patient for 20 years, I always get the same answer for my situation. And I always question why. And that why is part of what keeps me going. And I know I can't solve the why, but I know what I could do is that I can speak about it with other patients and pull them through, because this is like one of the hard, it's like a civil war. Your body is fighting each other to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the most important thing about it is that having a person to talk to when you're going through it, or someone that went through it, is by your side. And I think I just want to be that person. I want to be the person that's standing by your side when you're going through this, and keep you pushing and stay strong, and we can talk about it, because I'm sure the thing that you're going to talk about, the way you feel, I felt it. And I could, you know, we could sit down and talk about it. And I think one of the most important things is that speaking about it. And yes, you know, we'll do all these other services.
Mm-hmm.
But I think awareness is one of our biggest things as well.
So basically, like, making a difference, as you mentioned not too long ago, making a difference is key, fundamental to, you know, help the community. And, you know, help the other people who are suffering.
And it could be patients too, but, you know, we could also interview nurses.
Give their own perspective of how it is treating a patient who is going through cancer.
At the end of the day, it's everyone is human.
Right, yeah.
You know, everyone has the feeling. I'm sure doctors have them, surgeons have them.
Right, because they all see these people suffering. And I'm pretty sure the doctors, nurses are feeling bad for these patients. Like, I'm pretty sure they would love to find a cure for this, because till this day, I'm pretty sure there's not a cure for this.
It's not a cure for cancer. I would say it's a treatment for cancer. But I think, like for me, the treatment of cancer gave me the cancer lifestyle. So I'm technically have to always be followed up by doctors and specialists at a certain hospital that understood the situation. So I think it, the lifestyle of cancer is what follows after the cancer treatment that's actually, you know, I've been in remission for 20 years. So, speaks a lot. It's basically my whole life. I mean, I never lived a life before cancer. So.
Right, yeah, wow. Is there anything you would like to...
Honestly, I don't think I do. Actually, I do have something. I think what you're doing is very, very vital and super, super important. I think...
Yeah. Props to you. Round of applause for you. Like, you're making the difference.
You are.
You're doing something and someone else can't do.
Basically. Right. A lot of people don't have the courage in their soul to do it.
It's good that you stepped out of your comfort zone and to do this to help the benefit your community. And, yeah, I have no words, but to just round of applause.
I mean, the most I can say is the world needs to hear this. The world's in a really dark place right now, especially with what's going on. So, you know, you are a beam of light, positive light, you know, that hopefully you're able to shine over the world and just heal it, you know, in some way of aspect, you know. It's not, you know, it's going to take time because, you know, there's a lot of really bad people out there. And, you know, so it's going to take time, but, you know, just keep doing what you're doing, please. You know, you're a great person.
Mm-hmm.
You're tough as nails too. All those surgeries, all those battles you had with cancer.
You're a strong man.
You're a strong man. You know, a man of steel.
Yeah.
You know, so just I'm tipping my hat off to you.
Thank you.
What you're doing it makes me smile inside. Like, just thank you.
So as we wrap up this episode, is there a message you would like to send out to the community? Any way they can get into contact with your organization, the way, you know, they can donate, you know, or, you know, just toy donations or clothes donations. Is there any, you know, contact information, websites, Instagrams, social media?
So, my message would be, just never give up. Mm-hmm. Never give up. And it could be with anything you're going through in life. I actually take it very seriously. Just never give up. There's always, always dark days. But at the end of the dark days, there's going to be a good day. And I feel like bad days make you a stronger person. And when you become that stronger person, and you're going through whatever you're going through, when it happens again, you'll be prepared. And it could be any other situation. And I feel like whatever I've been through, maybe the person who I am today, because I'm not scared of risk. I'm not scared of anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just, the idea I have, I'm going for it.
You have that mentality, basically.
Keep going.
Yes.
Keep going. Mm-hmm. Don't give up. Enjoy your life. Do what you love. Mm-hmm. And I feel like your life will build itself when you're doing with what you love.
Absolutely. I think, and like you just said, I think, because everything falls in place when you're focusing on what matters. Everything else comes later. I think that's what certain people fail to realize. Like, they focus so on the more least important aspects instead of focusing on the meat and potatoes.
Just walk away from negative energy.
That too.
Just walk away. If you feel that you have a gut feeling that this is not right for you, just walk away. If you're somewhere or anywhere that you feel that, not for me, you don't have to give an explanation why.
No.
Just walk away and don't make enemies. Just everyone you know, hi, bye, and don't start problems. And that's how I live my life. I like to live my life friendly with everybody, and I don't like to start problems with anybody. And if a problem's going to start, I like to resolve it before I walk away, because I don't, you know, I don't have time for that.
Right.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And I don't think anyone has time for that. Because the time you're spending, the time that you're spending on problems or negative energy could be used to build yourself. So, any situation you're in could be anything. From health, personal, to relationships, just end it on a good note and just walk away. So that's my advice, and I learned it through what I've been going through in my health, and I learned it in just life in general. So yeah, I hope you guys would take that advice from me.
No, I needed that advice. Thank you. Yeah, wow. Some powerful words. I needed that. I'm like, I'm fine, but I still needed that. So
I mean, yeah, people nowadays need some words of encouragement, because today's world is just not the same as it was 10 years ago.
Just put yourself in a happy place.
Yeah.
Put yourself in an area where you're always laughing and joking around. And I'm a person, I don't like drama. So if there are drama ever happens and I'm included in it, I just want to end it on a good note and just walk away from the drama. I'm not the person that I'm going to hate you for life. It's just
live life.
If I see you again, hi, how are you? You're doing good. Like, I'm not going to hold it against you.
Yeah, I'll hold grudges.
Just move on. Just stay happy. I mean, it's hard to when you're in your dog days, but
right.
Keeping a smile, it pulls you through.
Right, yeah, of course. Now, wrapping up with our last question, is there any way our listeners can, you know, donate, or do you guys have a website or social media platforms where they can contact you guys in case they want to, you know, donate money or toys or clothes?
Yes. So you can go on to our Instagram, where we post most of our work. Okay, so you can go to our website. If you'd like to make a donation for the cause, you can go to www.littlegoldenlight.org. And you can scroll through our website, and you can make a donation if you like. And you will receive, we are a tax exempt 501c3, and you will automatically receive an email with a tax exempt letter. Also, if you'd like to volunteer or get involved with us, you can also go to, you can go to our Instagram, littlegoldenlight_ORG, and you can, you know, DM us if you'd like to help out or be part of in volunteering.
Okay.
And we are also on Facebook, littlegoldenlight_.org.
Mm-hmm.
The ORG. And that's pretty much what we're doing now. And we're really trying to launch our podcast and to focus on awareness. If anyone from the anyone that had a story that I want to share about cancer and they would like to talk to me about it, or anyone that's going to pediatric cancer that wants to talk about it, you can DM me on Instagram on littlegoldenlight.org. I also have my personal page in the bio of Little Golden Light, and you can send me a private DM, and I'm more than happy to take a phone call or talk if that would help you as well. Thank you, Brandon, for having me tonight.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for telling us your story. Once again, you're a very courageous man.
Thank you.
After all you went through, props to you, and we wish you the best of luck.
Absolutely.
To you and your organization.
Thank you.
In the future, and hope you guys grow. Keep growing, because you guys are doing good right now.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that you guys will grow bigger than ever.
Hopefully.
All right. Well, this has been your host, Brandon Luna. Alongside me was my co-host, Kevin Wilson, and our special guest, Chris Safi. Until next time.